We start Ambiente. We're doing Ramban again this year, or what are we doing?
No, we're not. I was about to explain. Okay, so what? It's nice to have everybody back. Welcome back. So what we're gonna do is a spin-off of the Ramban, because I noticed, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I noticed as we were learning some of the Rambans, especially the ones that have the more major Hashgafic important issues, you know, when we discussed Hashgacha Pratis and we discussed, you know, free choice and Bechira and all those such things. So I think those topics seem to do well. And I think it was important for people to get a new perspective on these things and think about them more. So what I decided to do is we're going to try to examine a lot of these topics, the major Hashgafic issues that come up. But I think we're going to do it through Pirkei Avos, one, and B, two, through the Parsha. Because Pirkei Avos, Chazal understood. We'll have more of a formal introduction to Pirkei Avos when we actually start this week. We'll see. But, you know, Chazal, in all the Masechtas and Shas, they only picked one where they're going to deal with, you know, they have a Gadat and Gemaras, but in terms of Mishnayos, they only picked one where they're going to deal with non-halachic issues. And the fact that they picked these Mishnayos, there must be that Chazal are trying to teach us, and they're not just nice Mishnayos to learn on a Shabbos afternoon, the nice idea, but there must be something more behind them that are major points for our life. So hopefully we'll use Pirkei Avos to examine that, and I'll try my best to tie it into the Parsha. This week worked out pretty easily, but sometimes it'll be harder than others. So what we're going to start with is, hopefully we'll not spend too much time. You could spend almost the whole year on this, but we'll try to do it in a more quickly. The Rambam wrote an introduction to Pirkei Avos. He wrote in this volume here, and they put this together, it's called Hakdamas HaRambam LeMishnah. The Rambam wrote three different introductions to Mishnayos. He wrote one introduction to all of the Mishnah, which is what they call the introduction to Zerayim, because that happens to be the first Seder of Mishnayos. So there he discusses all what Torah Shebaal Peh is all about, and the Mesorah, and how things developed, and he talks about Nevuah a little bit over there. Then he wrote an introduction to Perek Chelek in Sanhedrin, because the mission there says, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek V'Olam Haba. So he defines for you what are the rules, what are the criteria to enter into Olam Haba, and that's the source of his Yud Gimel Ikrim, the 13 principles of faith. He fleshes them out there in Nachtam L'Perek Chelek, maybe that's something we could learn one time. And then he wrote what is known as Shmona Prakim, which is the Haktam of the Maseches Avos. It's called Shmona Prakim because there are 8 Prakim. I don't think he labeled it that way. So before he begins Shmona Prakim, there's a whole Haktam to it where he references what he writes about, maybe we'll discuss when we start Pirkei Avos, in his introduction to Mishnah about Pirkei Avos. But just one line that we're going to read from here, which is not on the sheet, of why he thinks this is so important. So he says it's a very important Masechta, Pirkei Avos, and you shouldn't think, like I said, that it's, since it's easier than most Mishnayos, so you could quickly understand things, that you shouldn't lose sight of the deeper messages behind them. And then he says, I want to ra'isi lahaktim kodem sha'askil v'perish halacha halacha, before I go one by one through each Mishnah, prakim o'ilim, prakim that will help us understand the Mishnah better. Ya'sigu la'adam mehem haktamos v'yelo gamkin kamafteach l'masha anasidim lefarish. These haktamos, these introductions will be a key, will be an opening to what I'm going to explain. So what we're about to learn, we'll see why, it won't be obvious in the beginning, are important to understand the concepts that he will flesh out here to be able to understand what's going on in Pirkei Avos, to be able to understand what Chazal felt are the main important ideals that we should know, that we should live by. So it's not enough, the Rambam says, just to jump in and explain them, but there are some basic things that we must understand first. So we're going to try to go through the first three prakim tonight. We'll focus on the first and the third, and the second we'll just gloss over. So I have here, I didn't even put the second on the sheet. So I have here the full source of the second and the third, and we'll see other we'll discuss. So we'll just jump right in. So what the
full source of the first?
The first parak, yeah, and then the third parak is also here. Not the second. So the first parak, he says, Benefesh ha'adam v'kochoseha. We're going to explain the, will be important here with the choice of words nefesh opposed to neshama, but the soul of a person and its strengths. Well, what is made up of our souls? So what the Rambam is going to discuss here is what makes the human soul unique, and what different parts that are made up of it, and then we'll explain why that is an important thing to understand. So we won't read the whole thing here, but we'll definitely know the first paragraph. He says, "Da ki nefesh ha'adam nefesh achas, v'la pu'ulos rabos chalukos." The soul of a person is one, only one unit to it. It's one unit, even though there are many different parts to it. Yikru k'tzas ha'pu'ulos ha'hei nefashos. So people will call them different nefashos, in plural, because there are different parts to it. But don't think that therefore there actually are multiple nefashos. So there are some that think that because we refer to them as nefashos, that there really are three different souls. And he says that some of the philosophers who dealt with medicine in that time thought this. Well, one of the people that they reference here in the footnotes is Galen, who is a medieval philosopher and doctor. That's what he calls the Rosh HaRofim. So he thought, and he actually writes this in his works, that there are three different types of souls. Tivi'it, Chiyunit, and Nefashit, which means the basic nature of a person. Then the Chiyunit, the thing that allows him to live, that allows him to move. The Nefashit, which I guess is more intellectual. And the Ram says that's not true. It's not three different nefashos. Hashem gave us one nefesh. Upamim yikru kochos v'chalokim. They're just called different strengths, different parts of it. Ad shiyomer chalki hanefesh. That's why I call them different parts of the one nefesh. V'zeh Hashem yishtam shibo ha-philosophim harbe. V'einim miskadim v'amim chalki yishiyim mischalekes k'chelek ha-gufos. Don't think that when I say they're different chalakim, it's like separate bodies. What these philosophers do is they count the different tasks that our nefesh does, each part of them to make up the one soul. And now, why is this important for us? It just seems to be, you know, philosophy and what he calls from these doctors and academics. So that's the next paragraph, which for the Rambam, the thrust of these Shmona Prakim is what he discusses Tikkun HaMidos. When a person wants to understand what he's made up of and how to, which is what really a lot of Pirkei Avos is about, and how to go about changing different things and how to go about inculcating different ideas and different midos into himself, into his personality, he has to understand really what his personality is made up of. It could be, you know, if a person views himself as just a physical person, or even if he knows that he has something going on inside of him, but he doesn't fully appreciate what it's all about and what the different parts of it are, he won't know how to properly fix his nefesh, right? It's, let's say, a mashal to a car. The more a person has an expertise, and a person can understand in general the what's in a car and how it runs, but the more a person understands the inside and all the specificalities of what's going on inside a car and each part of it, so then he'll be able to fix it and tune it and even improve on it from the place that it is. Even if it's not running poorly and it's not broken, he could still improve on it and add different parts. The more a person understands what's going on inside of him, then he could bring things into his personality and make certain changes. So that's where the next paragraph, Ata yodea shetikun hamidos amnan hu rifoi hanefesh v'kol chosah. This language of rifoi, of refuah, we'll discuss in Parag Gimel, that it's the refuah, it's the healing of the soul and all its different parts. Kemo sha'arofe asher yirpu ha-gufos, tzarech she'ida t'chila ha-gufa asher yirfuah b'chlal. All right, even better mashal than the car. Just like a doctor, in order to perform whatever refuah he's going to do, so he can't just understand the small area that he's working on, right? If the doctor is doing heart surgery, so obviously he's specialized and understands more about the heart than the rest of the body. But he went to medical school and he knows how the entire body works as one unit. So too the nefesh. If I want to fix one aspect of my personality, it's not enough to say, okay, I'm going to understand what anger is all about and what the root of anger is. Okay, I understand the root of anger, but I don't see how that fits in to the greater system.
Is he talking about tshuva here?
Not yet. He's not talking about tshuva.
So what is he talking about by repairing the body?
So he's talking about tikkun hamidos. Meaning, even though, let's say, tshuva would be, in the Rambam's view, tshuva is a specific avera, right?
So what's he talking about?
Here he's talking about, let's say, a person thinks to himself, I'm not happy with anger, right? It's not that I necessarily got angry at this specific person on this day, and I'm doing tshuva for that. I want to repair the entire system of my neshama to root out anger. I want to root out gaiva. I want to root out whatever midah it is. That's what I think the Rambam refers to as tikkun hamidos. It might be part of tshuva.
Self-improvement.
If a person is doing tshuva, part of that process might be then to fix a specific midah, a specific aspect of his personality, but it's not necessarily always the same thing.
Because it would be difficult to do tshuva if you don't understand.
Right, so this would be a key to tshuva as well, though, because in order to do real tshuva, right, so you could do on a tshuva on a basic level, but to get to the root of what you're all about, so then it's very important to understand this. So the doctor has to understand in general how the body works. V'chalki ha'guf mayim, and each specific different part of the body. Ratzoni lomar guf ha'adam tzarech sheide ilu dvar yachluku v'yachok yachluhu v'yurachok mehem. And not only does he have to understand how the body works, through his understanding of how the body works, he'll know what causes the person to become sick. When he knows what causes the person to become sick, he'll be able to tell, advise his patient how to distance themselves from those things. Ilu dvarim yivru, and what things will help a person become healthier and to run after them. B'chavin aleihem. Kena sheyirpa ha-nefesh. When we want to cure our souls for whatever ailments are there, which we'll discuss more in full what exactly they are, but whatever things are not allowing our souls to connect to what they're really supposed to be, what the reason why Hashem gave us these is an easier, like the Rambam said, a mafteach, an easier key, an easier door opening to connect to Hashem, and not through just our physical bodies. We want to repair those things and make that connection stronger, so, and by affecting and changing the things that are not necessarily the way they should be inside that nefesh, so you have to understand all the parts of it. But tzarech sheyida nefesh ha'adam b'chlala u'b'chalkeha. You have to understand what a neshama is, and what a nefesh is in a general sense, and all its specific parts, what could cause it to become sick in the mashal that he's giving, and what could heal it. So now what the Rambam is going to do before he gets to that, this will go over more outside, is describe what he says five parts to the nefesh. This is what caused these people to think that there are different nefashos. Ram says it's one, and we'll see why that's important also. Then there are five parts. So he says the first is the chilek hazan, right? Like we say in bunching hazan asakol, it's sustained, like mazon. So he says that is also split up into different parts. The example that he gives, let me just find the right line here. Chilek hazan, he says, is the kavach hamoshich, hamachzik, hamakel, hadocha, vamosrus. It's the whole. Even though you wouldn't necessarily have thought this to become part of your nefesh, it's the entire digestive system that you're able to eat things. Your body intakes those things and throws other parts out. So he thinks that's not just the organs of your body alone that are doing that process, but it's your nefesh. It's part of the soul that's been given to you. That's chelik hazan. And there he points out an important mistake that people make. He says this part, maybe you would think that the chelik hazan of a person is the same exact thing as a behemoth. This is something, let's say when we get to speech, where we differ, man differs from animals, maybe in terms of the digestive system and the way we sustain our bodies, we're exactly the same as animals. So that part of our nefesh is equal between person and animal. An animal has some sort of nefesh because he does these processes. Maybe we would think they're the same. Says the Rambam, no. We use the same term. We both have these digestive systems, but an animal is different than a person. And he gives another beautiful mashal to explain this. He says that if there's a dark room, and I want to get light into that room, so there are a number of ways I could do that. I could take a candle and light the candle, and then the room's illuminated through fire. What I could also do, say it's a clear night, hopefully we could say Kiddush Levana tonight, we open the window, and the moon will shine directly into the room. So when a person will speak, he'll say he lit up the room. But is it the same light? It's far different types of light. Even though I did this similar thing to light up a room, but the light of fire and the light of the moon, the illumination of the moon, are two different concepts. So too, he says, even though us and an animal may do, even on the most basic level, these same processes, the same thing, we still have to understand how refined and how special our nefesh is, that even when we're doing the same process that an animal does, we still, even that part of it still comes from a different source, and we have an entirely different nefesh than an animal, to appreciate the uniqueness of our nefesh. And then he says, that's the first one, chelek hazan. What's the second one? Chelek hamargish. This is simple. What every preschooler learns, this is the five senses, right? That's part of our nefesh also. What allows us to sense things, to smell things, to hear things, to touch things, to see things, is the nefesh that's been given to us. And so therefore, he says, the chelek hamargish obviously is made up of the five senses. That is the second chelek of the nefesh. And those are pretty simple processes that we could understand and we could scientifically observe. Then he says there's a chelek hamedame, what we would say is comparison or imagination. He says that's really what we call imagination. Hu hakoach hasheyisko rishumei hamuchshim achar helam mikirvas achushim achar sigu. After our five senses are we've passed them, we're not using them necessarily for this, through our imagination is separate from our five senses, right? We don't touch or feel or see anything. We see it in our mind, but we don't see anything with our eyes when we use our imagination, and we use our brain power for a different thing. And this, he says, there's a little bit of philosophical discussion. So he has a machlokas with the philosophers who claim that because we have this koach, because it's been given to us in our nefesh, then it must be that anything that we can imagine has to be. He says at the end of this paragraph, the fourth paragraph there, v'chelek hamidame, so at the end of the paragraph he says, v'kan, regarding this part of our soul, toh hamidabrim, this is actually, in Mor Nevuchim, he uses the same term. When he refers to these Arabic philosophers that he argues about, he calls them medabim, speakers. They run their mouths. They don't really know what they're talking about. What's the mistake they make? Hatos hamaguna hagidola. He thinks it's a very despicable mistake. Asher bano ala pinos hatiyasim b'chalukas hamukhuya v'efshar v'hanimda. In terms of what's part of what's called possible, they made a big mistake. Shehem chashu, ohevi'u b'nei adam lachshav. They either think or they really are such, what he envisions, as such bad people, that they just want people to think this way, even though they know it's not the truth. Ki kol medame, meduma, efshar. Anything that is imaginable is possible to happen. It's possible, he says, that no, this koach that's been given to us, for whatever reason why, is that we can envision things that are not possible, even though you can imagine such a thing to be true, to be possible. You know, he gives he has a long discussion about this in Mor Nevuchim. Why he thinks it's such a mistake is because he thinks it could lead a person to kfira, because it gets involved with the whole question of, you know, how does Hashem create a rock that it can't lift? That's that part of the discussion. So if we're able to say that we can imagine things that are not possible, then that would sort of deflect that question, and they were trying to, you know, force that question to come to the conclusions that the Rambam did not want to come to. So that's why he thinks it's such a strong mistake. But, you know, the example he gives in Mor Nevuchim is obviously things that we know are impossible. You know, no one, even though you could imagine, especially, you know, the Rambam didn't have comic books and television, but even though you could imagine movies, even though you could imagine, you know, a flying horse, the Rambam says, okay, you could imagine it, but it doesn't mean that it's a possibility that's going to happen, and that's an impossibility. And so that's the machlokas he has in terms of that. Then the last two, Chalakim and Nefesh, are already more parts that what we would imagine is when you say think of the Nefesh, is what maybe we would think of. So there's the Chelek HaMisorer, the awakening, literally translated. What is that? That's the part when a person feels in either direction. Either he feels a strong desire for something, or he feels in the other direction, a strong repulsion towards something that's coming from his Nefesh. That's more, right, that's more clear, because the other things at least are involved in physical processes. When we desire something, right, we say our heart desires it. So obviously we know that in terms of the biological makeup of our heart, there's no desire involved. But what we mean is that there's something deep rooted inside our souls that we really want this thing. We really feel a connection to this thing. We want to attach ourselves to it. Or on the other hand, we really are disgusted by it. And then he says, through these actions, then a person can come to the actions of bakasha and bericha, right? He'll either seek or he'll run away from them. And that's where Bechira fits in. He'll choose to run after something or run towards it. And he says, this is, and even in this fourth part, this is where midos start to come in. Because the fear, the feelings of fear or strength or rachmanis, he says, or achzarios, right? To feel compassion or to feel cruelty, ava and sinna, all these things which we refer to as midos, right? We say midos ava, of love and hatred, That's rooted in this part of the nefesh. If a person feels hate towards a person, it's because his chelik havis orer, when he sees that person, he automate in his heart, in his what we say in his neshama, he starts to feel whatever reason, good reason, bad reason, for what that person has causes him to say, oh, I despise this person. So right there, now a person knows, it's just a hint to where we're going to, how he can work on those things. Because he could say, okay, what causes hatred? It's the feeling inside me of to desire something or to detest something, that's what's causing my hatred. That is the fourth chelik. The fifth chelik is, this for the Rambam is the biggest deal, ha-chelik ha-sechli, right, to use our seichel. So the other two chalakim also uses the mind, right, the imagination and the feelings of misorir. But what does it mean, the chelik ha-sechli? Hu ha-koach ha-nimsa li-adam. It's a strength that's been given to us. Asher bo yaskil bo tiyah hisponenis u bo yikne ha-chachmos. It's in our entire mental capacity. And our capabilities, and it plays itself out in many different ways. He says there's a simple way, chelek hamasi. If I want to learn a certain trade, if I want to learn how to be a tailor, so that's my chelek haseichel. I take my seichel and I learn how to start sewing clothes. Then there's also the chelek ha'iyuni, or what we say machshavti, which means that I'm not only am I learning a specific trade, but I can think about things. And I can understand things, what we just call chachmos. Not that I'm not learning a specific trade, but I can become more knowledgeable in things of the world, and and things of that relate to the neshama and to the nefesh, and obviously in terms of Torah and Hashem, all that is in the chelik haseichel, the logical understanding of our souls. And he sums things up, and then adds one important part about the seichel. He says again that you should know the da shizos nefesh achas. You have to remember. You have to remember that the root of the soul is one. After you know all the different pieces and parts of it, you have to know that it's rooted in one thing, and we'll discuss the importance of that. And then when he gets to now he's going to return to the seichel. He makes one of the more important points. The imlo tikna lahatsura tiyamitzias hachana shabali kibal tsura hayilavatala. This is a concept that the Rambam discussed in other places, which he calls Chomer and Sura. What Chomer is doesn't necessarily have to mean something physical, but it is the matter that receives something that's higher than it. For example, in our nefesh, so the actual nefesh, that if you could imagine in a physical sense, the physical nefesh, not something physical, but the makeup of the nefesh, that's the Chomer. The Tsura, meaning the thing that's higher than it, that it's supposed to be able to accept, is the ability to think, the ability to rationally understand things. For the Rambam, to rational understanding is the ultimate goal, to be able to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and understand what Hashem's all about. So that's the Tzura, that's what the Neshama is supposed to do. So he says that Hashem gave us these strengths, these kochos, right? We'll use the mashal of the Ramban that we used last year. The Ramban said by the Akedah, that the whole point of the Akedah is to bring something min HaKoach el HaPoel. We have all these things, these potentials within us. Then we have to bring the potentials out. So the neshama has been given the potential to understand things. That's the tzura. But it's worthless, the Rambam says. The neshama is a metzias hevel. It's a worthless thing unless we could be kona the tzura. We could be kona what the point of the neshama that's been given to us for. We have to be able to work on it and develop it so that we can use the strengths that it's been given and use them for what it's supposed to accomplish. If not, then we're letting it go to waste. So the Rambam says that's why it's important to understand what it's all about and how to properly use it.
This is seems like it's the average person's makeup.
The average person's makeup, yeah. Every person, every single person, even in terms of the nefesh, even a non-Jew,
right.
Has a nefesh.
Everybody.
Right. It's given to everybody. And just like muscles have been given to everybody, then the question is, you know, the bodybuilder is going to make the decision that the average person is not going to make, that he's going to develop those muscles to the extreme. So we've been given this ability, and now our job is to either let it go waste, and you could, you know, eat a lot of donuts and sit on the couch and drink a lot of beer, and you'll end up hurting the skills that have been given to you, or you could develop them the best you can. And that's where Bechira comes in, and that's exactly what in Perek Beis, which we'll just glance over, I'm not even going to read inside, he discusses which of these five aspects are there, do they just run their natural course, and that's the average person, and we don't have to think about them, and which have milos and chisronos. So he says, the chelik hazan, don't even think about it. Like he said, animals, even though it's a different one, animals have it, but the chelik hazan, I'm not reading inside now, the chelik hazan, for now, we will get to
pregnant.
The chelik hazan that sustains us, so that he says, what's his proof that we don't have to work on it, and it's not something we have to make sure that it's doing the proper things. It works in our sleep. In our sleep, our body continues to digest and to sustain itself. So since it's a self-sustaining thing process, we don't have to think about it. We don't have to worry about it. So where are the main things of a person, where the midos and the work that a person does? So the Rambam says it's obviously in the seichel. And he says in the chelek hamargish, with our five senses, that's important because that's where we do our physical things. By touching, by seeing, by hearing, that's where we're mekayim all our mitzvos. So that needs work. Right, we need to work on our chelek hamargish, our senses, because through our senses, that's where we do physical mitzvos. Through the chelek hamitzorer, right, the feelings of wanting something and hating something, that's obviously where midos and averos could be. And then the Rambam says there's the machlokas. What about the chelek hasichlios? Does that have the ability to think and understand and have chachmas? Is that just neutral, or that needs to be worked on also? So the Rambam says, that is a machlokas, and I think that, of course, that also needs to be worked on, because a person, even though a person may not have a bad midah, like in the chelek hamisorer that he hates, or that he's cruel, but if he has bad beliefs, and he has bad thoughts, not bad thoughts in terms of in the imagination, but a bad thoughts that he doesn't understand the world properly, he doesn't understand the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to this world, so that's a problem also. So that also needs work. So the main parts of the neshama that a person is, so to speak, working on is the senses, where he's able to develop them to be mekayim mitzvos. And then there's the chelek ha-misorer, the feelings of running towards something, running away from something, that which is rooted in, obviously, cruelty and love and hate and rachmanus, needs to be developed. And finally, for the Rambam, the seichel, that needs to be developed as well. So, just to summarize what we're saying and where we're heading, so the Rambam played out for us what exactly is made up of the soul, and then where a person could have a problem with it, and where a person could just let it go. And then he emphasized in Perek Aleph, which we'll have to understand why, that it's one soul, right? It's one soul. Don't think like these people made a mistake, that some people think of five parts, there are five souls. So why is that so significant? So there's a Gemara in Brachos, the Gemara in Brachos is not on the sheet, the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud says the following, that the Gemara asks, all the Barchinashis that David says, so who are they referring to? The Gemara says, "Hani Barchinashi kenegin mi amran David." When David says in the Perek Tehillim with Barchinashi, who is he saying my soul should bless? Lo amran ela kenegin Hakadosh Baruch Hu. His soul is blessing Hashem. The kenegin haneshama. His soul is blessing Hashem and it's blessing his neshama. Why those two things? What's the connection between his neshama and Hakadosh Baruch Hu? A lot. Ma Hakadosh Baruch Hu malei kol olam. Afin neshama malei kol aguf. Right. We believe that Hashem, however we understand it, but Hashem fills the whole world, right? Hashem's presence is, there's no absence of Hashem's presence in the entire world. So too, we have a guf. Our neshama fills up every part of a guf. Makadosh Baruch Hu roeh ve'eino nireh. Just like Hashem could see, but we can't see Him, so too the neshama roeh, it actually fits what the Rambam says, that part of what the neshama's task is to see. So the neshama sees, it's functioning, but it's eino nireh, it's invisible to us, we can't feel it. Makadosh Baruch Hu zanes kol olam. Hashem provides sustenance for the entire world. The neshama provides, like the Rambam said, chilek hazan, it provides sustenance for the entire guf. And if the neshama would turn off for a second, then the guf turns off with it. Makash baruch hu tar of af neshama tahora. Hashem is pure, so to the neshama comes from pure. It was given to us pure, and parts of it remain pure no matter what. Makash baruch yoshe b'chadri chadarim, af neshama yoshe b'chadri chadarim. Whatever, this part is less clear what it means, but just like Hashem sits in the innermost room, so to our neshama sits in the innermost room. Yavo mi sheish bo chamisha dvarim halalu, v'yishabeach l'mi sheish bo chamisha dvarim halalu. What David Melech is saying is, baruch inashi, my nefesh that has these five aspects that are similar to Hashem, should come, and only my nefesh could say baruch inashi as Hashem, could bless Hashem, because my nefesh has things that are similar to Hashem, so therefore it could bless it. And Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Charlap, who wrote many svarim, and one of the svarim he wrote as a commentary on the Shemona Prakim, so he says this is the key to understanding why the Rambam thought it was such a major issue that there's only one neshama. Because the neshama, he says, is a mashal, so to speak. And what's the nimshal of the neshama? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem gave us a neshama with amazing capacities, like this Gemara Baruch is saying, in order that we should understand through our neshama and get a greater clarity on the nimshal. So, if the nimshal is Hashem, the neshama has been given to us to understand Hashem, and the neshama is one. Hashem is the ultimate one. So it has to be that our neshama is one. It's not just the Rambam saying a happenstance. Don't think it's one. And more than that, the neshama is rooted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It really comes from Hashem, and it's our greatest connection to Him. So just like He's one, our neshama has to be one. And it's not necessarily in contradiction to the Rambam, but just to appreciate a little bit more what's going on with these different aspects of the neshama and have a little bit of a different take on things. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the great Rosh Shiva of the original Yeshiva of Volozhin, in his Sefer Nefesh HaChaim in Shar Aleph, in the middle, he actually uses this as the prakim that he starts to introduce the concept of tshuva, so he thought that this is an important understanding to understand tshuva, says that we refer to often, right, confusing the Rambam muscle, he says the word nefesh. We refer to nefesh, neshama, and ruach. Right? If you look in Chazal, actually the Medrash and Breisha says there are five things. There's nefesh, there's ruach, nefesh, neshama, chaya, and yechida, which we won't touch upon, more concepts in Kabbalah. But often you'll hear someone say, right, we'll say something is ruchnius, it's spiritual, and we'll call something a nefesh, we'll call something a neshama. So what are the difference between all these three things? So again, he assumes it's also one source, but three aspects. So he says that the most basic thing is the ruach. So The ruach, he says, is the part of a person that that is his actions. His maisim lie in the ruach, in the most basic, lowest part, least connected closely to Kadosh Baruch Hu. His actions lie in the ruach. Then, in the neshama, he explains. So that's where a person has the ability to speak, right? Because, like we say, the breath that comes out of a person. So the neshama has the ability to speak. That's where that comes from. And then, the ultimate highest point is the nefesh, which is machshava, right? Where the ability to think, similar to what the Rambam is saying, that get the key lines here. So so he says the nefesh is the part that's clearly, sorry, other way around, apologies. The nefesh is the most basic level, right? Like we say, the nefesh asher ta'aseh, the nefesh is what does the actions. The nefesh is the most basic level, the most physical part of our entire soul, and that has the rooted in our actions. Then there's dibor, and that's what we refer to as ruach, right? Because the wind that comes out of our mouth is dibor. And then machshava is connected to our neshama, because that part is what the Gemara is saying, Hani Baruch Hinashi Keneged Mi, right? In our neshama, which is most closely connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's where machshava lies. Because what's unique about machshava, about our thoughts, is that it's the least physical thing that we have. Our actions are very physical. Our ruach, our speech, is mixed, because it comes from within us, but then it's expressed outwardly. But our thoughts, which are solely not expressed physically, are the easiest way, and they're most closely connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu, because they're rooted in our neshama. So, and then
thoughts are our imagination.
Our thoughts are our imagination, but also more than that, our thoughts are our cognitive abilities to develop ideas and to develop, to think about, you know, things that are beyond us, to think about what our purpose in this world is, to think about our connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to think about Hashem's Torah, which is Hashem's representative of Him. So all that is rooted in the most highly connected place of the entire soul, what he refers to as the neshama. She develops more and shows how it is more connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the part that was directly given from Hashem and still has a part of Hashem in it, and that is the neshama. So it's important to realize that through all these actions that we do, they're not just regular actions, but they're actions that are rooted in a very spiritual source. In terms of our parsha, we see the importance. You know, if you look on the sheet before we get to Perek Gimel, you see the importance of the soul, and even in halacha, how the halacha is looking out for the importance of the soul. So in this week's parsha, after we have the discussion of Ben Sora Mora and he gets killed, then the Torah says not just Ben Sora Mora, but really anybody who is killed and deserves chiyav misa. So this is what we should do with them. This is Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Chaf Beis. Let's say someone gets Misas Beis Din, any of the four, and then we hang him up afterwards. That's what Rashi learns, that even the ones who get stolen get hung up afterwards. So we hang him up. What should we do with him? Lo salin nivlaso ala eitz. You shouldn't let him stay and be hung on the tree. Ki kavar tikbrenim bayomahu, ki kilas Elohim taloi. It's a curse of a god, of Elohim, that he should be hung. And that's one part. And there's another part, and you shouldn't have tumah being around. The Ramban understands it's two separate things, that you should take him down, and you should bury him right away, because in Eretz Yisrael, you shouldn't have tumah in Eretz Yisrael, and that's why there's more of a chiyuv to bury a person quickly in Eretz Yisrael, according to the Ramban, than there would be in Chutz Laaretz. So what is this very strange lashon of the pasuk? Ki kilas Elohim taloi. It is a curse of Hashem that he's hung. So Rashi says, more of a, let's say we would call drash, that what does it mean that it's a curse of Hashem? This person himself is not a curse of Hashem. He's a person. But because Rashi says, it's not on the Shia, but it's a zilzol the melech, because Adam asa b'dmus yudno. We have tzelem Elokim. We represent Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we have a chelek of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in us. So the fact that we're hanging, so it's a chel Hashem. The Rashi that's a mashal to two twins, even though he's not the king, since he looks exactly like the king, it's going to reflect badly on him. But the Sforno learns this pasuk in more of the pshat. What does it mean? It's kilas Elohim. Elohim is not referring to Hashem. specifically, this is on the sheet, you need kol etzem nivdol michomer yikra Elohim. Anything that's separate, that's created separately from physicality, is called Elohim. Umizah min hu etzem hanefesh hasichlis ba'adam hanikra selam Elohim. What the pasuk is referring to is, well, we could even call it Elohim, because just like Hashem, just like Hashem is totally separate, nothing physical, the neshama is something like that, where it is the neshama sichlis, the ability to connect on our thoughts to Hashem, is something that is separate, which we call the Tzelem Elohim. So the fact that that's hanging up, a body that has a neshama in it, had a neshama in it hanging on a tree, that in and of itself, it's not a zilzal back to Hashem, it's in and of itself a zilzal. The bizayon that of a mace lying around is not just a bizayon to his physical body, but to his neshama, because he's an etzem nivdal, he's a separate entity, hanishar achamis aguf, therefore it's kilos Elohim. So therefore a person should bury right away. So we see a halacha, the bury right away, in this week's parsha is showing us the appreciation and the chashivas that every person should give to their neshama, even more so when it is in them. If it's a zilzal, if it's a disgrace, even after the neshama has left the body that once housed it is sitting there hung, even more so, a person should take appreciation for the neshama that he has within him. I don't know if we'll have time for this in full, but maybe we'll continue next week just to start Perek Gimel. So that's where the Rambam says the lemaisa part of things, right? In Perek Aleph, Perek Beis, he was giving you the background, the knowledge you need to know. So why is it important? He says, because there are such things he calls as cholei hanefesh, as sickness of the soul. And he says, just like when it comes to sickness of the guf, what does a person do? Second, he feels not well. Second, he thinks that he's sick. He runs straight to the doctor, and the doctor tells him, do the following things, and take these pills, and this exercise, whatever it may be, and hopefully, with Hashem's help, you'll be healed. So too, that's the same is true on Cholei HaNefesh. A person could feel that not necessarily, it definitely could be caused by specific averos, then he'll definitely feel Cholei HaNefesh, because that, he took, just like he would take poison, he'll feel sick right away. But even without doing averos, if a person doesn't exercise, so he hasn't done anything wrong to his body, but over time accumulation, he'll start to feel heavy, he'll start to feel weighed down. So too the neshama, the more it doesn't get exercised, the more it is not appreciated for what it is, a person will feel heavy, a person will feel weighed down. And that's the time where he needs to do tshuva to his neshama. He needs to exercise it. He do tikkun amidos to start figuring out, what about me? Why is it that I'm not happy with myself? Why do I feel that I can't connect to my neshama as much? And what do I have to do to fix it? And the Rambam says, what do? You go to the doctor. You go to the chachamim, or you learn shemot ha'prakim, you understand more what your soul is made up of, and then you'll understand more how to go about fixing things. And then he says, a worse thing is, Rahman al-Tzlan, this is really the worst thing in the physical body as well, is that if a person's sick, and he doesn't even know about it. If a person's sick, Rahman al-Tzlan, and he knows about it, so he'll hope to get the best care and take care of it. But sometimes a person can be walking around thinking that he's totally healthy, but underlying somewhere in his body, there's a disease he just doesn't know, doesn't feel about it. So the Rambam says the same is true in our neshamas. We may not even be aware of different things that are going on, different midos that are creeping up, different thoughts that we have that are not in line and not appropriate of our understanding of the way the world works and what our accomplishments and what we should be doing in this world. If a person doesn't even realize that, so that's the greatest danger, because they'll continue to fall down and not be able to bring himself back up. And I guess the way a person, he doesn't follow through with the mashal, but the way a person would be able to even start doing those things is, a person went for a full body checkup and MRIs and all the tests, even though he doesn't think that, he doesn't feel something necessarily that would cause him to do that, just to check, make sure everything's there. The same would be true with us, that we should, that's what we call cheshbon nefesh, to sit back and think about our life and our midos and our interactions and what things need to be fixed, and to fix them, and especially now, in Elul. So I just want to close, maybe we'll have to develop this more last time, but next time, with a piece from Rav Kook. The first piece in Rav Kook Sefer Os HaTshuva, where he describes that there are three types of tshuva. Tshuva tivit, tshuva emunit, and tshuva sichlit. You could have natural tshuva, and then you could have tshuva of belief, and then you could have tshuva of the seichel, which we won't be able to explain the second three. What does it mean tshuva tivit? What does it mean to have natural tshuva? He says, tshuva on our natural body. Literally, he says that He says, and if you look in the second paragraph after the first line, b'tshuva tivit yish nishtei chalakim, b'tshuva tivit gufanit, b'tshuva tivit nefashit. You can have tshuva on your natural body. Hagufanis soveves es kol ha'aviros neged chukei ha'teva. Any avir that a person does against the laws of nature, b'hamaser b'hatorah, ha'mikusharim im chukei ha'teva, that are connected to the laws of regular nature. What does that mean? Shesof kol hanhagara hu lehevi machalos u'machavim. Every bad action can bring actual real life sickness and disease. Rav Kook believes, and we can understand now what we saw in the Rambam's Mashal of Chol HaNefesh, where he's coming from. Rav Kook believes that even physical, let's take it one step further, even physical ailments, physical feelings of sickness, since the neshama is all connected, could also stem from spiritual things. And that a tshuva is an all-encompassing process. Even to do tshuva from going against the laws of nature. He's talking about not having a healthy body and not taking care of one's body is connected to not taking care of one's soul. Because he says, Sof kolon hagara, every bad action could bring even physical ailments. And then he says that the next paragraph, and then he says that medicine of sekis bid amnan harbe, avalonis dachal kathianira dain legami avodagulozu. Medicine does, there are certain types of medicine have realized, especially nowadays, that they've realized that, you know, that psychologically, the lines between physical and psychological could be blurred. And Rav Kook says that's been true, that's been realized, but it hasn't been done enough. And that sometimes you won't necessarily find a answer to a physical question just on a physical level, but there was something more going on behind the scenes. And he says that's true in our neshamas as well, to realize that tshuva is all-encompassing, that it's not just from specific averos, but it's an entire process, and the more we're in touch with what's going on in our souls and what they're all about, the more we're able to fix things in general, and the more we're able to use that for tshuva, to keep that in mind, to always be aware of what's really hidden beneath us, and to use it as an impetus for tshuva, and to see that everything's really all connected is something important to keep in mind during these days approaching Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur.